All right, 1 Timothy chapter 4, if you would please, in your Bibles. 1 Timothy chapter 4, it's been real good to have been here. And I appreciate what I've already heard, been a help to me. 1 Timothy chapter 4, look at verse number 14. The Bible says, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself holy to them, that thy profiting may appear to all." Now watch this next phrase. "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." If you would look back at chapter 3 and verse number 14, Paul says this, "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long," watch this, "that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." Brother Biano, would you ask God to bless the preaching, please? Amen. Now, if you'll notice here in verse number 14, Paul gives Timothy the reason he wrote 1 and 2 Timothy. I kind of thought that was interesting. I'd never really noticed that, even though back in the day, I was overly ambitious, all fired up about becoming a pastor before I even went to Brother Lentz's. And I memorized 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. I couldn't quote it to you now, but back then I did it. And I missed something in here that was the key, I believe, to what Paul's trying to get through to the younger preacher. Interestingly enough, I mean, there's all kinds of passages in here that jump out at us that we all love to quote as preachers. And there's really some good stuff in here. We all like 2 Timothy 4, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. The next part we really like. Yeah. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. I mean, if we did a pop quiz, preachers, and just said, okay, what do you think 1 and 2 Timothy is all about? Most of us are going to come up with some of these other passages. Most of us are going to say, well, I would just say that he's encouraging the young preacher how to preach. And boy, we live in a day and age where preachers don't seem to be preaching anymore. And that really right there is a good message. I mean, we do still need old school Bible preaching. I'm so tired of listening to all these self-help talks. I'm tired of watching preachers that say they're called to preach and get in their pulpits and absolutely refuse to preach. It absolutely wears me out. I mean, I remember the saying, and some of you will remember as well, preachers who can preach make me want to preach. I'm telling you, sitting there and listening to these guys this week, you're like, you know, I'm happy to be here, and I'm just going to sit back, and, you know, there's nothing more nerve-wracking than getting in my brother Peacock's pulpit and having to preach. I'd just be glad to be able to chill and relax. And then you sit there, and a preacher gets up and starts preaching, and something inside of you, if you're called to preach, starts revving up. You know what I mean? You start just kind of like that thing starts itching, and it just starts working on you. Before you know it, that fire starts to stir in your bones a little bit. That'll get you wanting to preach when a man gets up and preaches. It'll also make you want to preach when a man can't preach. I know we're all so arrogant and all that stuff, but when you sit there and you listen to a guy get up there and won't get the mush out of his mouth and ain't got no fire in his gut and seems like he's scared to death of absolutely everything but God, you're like, sit down and shut up. I'll do it, all right? Probably the most aggravating thing is the ones that won't. They got all the truth, man. They know the Bible. They believe the Bible, but they absolutely refuse to preach. They're worried about the old ladies getting mad and the old men getting mad and the big tithers walking off and the businessmen in church and whether or not they're going to be able to pay the bills and all the rest of that stuff. And so they just won't preach. Well, if you asked me a few years ago what Timothy's all about, I'd probably pick the preaching thing. I like 2 Timothy 2, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. Boy, that's a good one, man. Amen. Gentlemen, we need some strong preachers. Amen. I mean strong men. You know the generation we live in. I don't need to harp on it here today, but I am tired of watching all the men whine and cry all the time about absolutely everything. Amen. You go to pastor schools and you're like, I ain't going no more, man. I'm sick of it. I went there feeling good, looking to get a little fired up, looking to get a little help, and I left there so bummed out.
I mean, the ministry is like the worst thing in the world. I mean, why did God hated me. That's why he called me to preach. And now I hate my people. I mean, I was going there trying to get away to help them, but now I'm scared of everybody. I'm going to be miserable the rest of my life. Thanks, God. What'd you do to me? Be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. Life is rough, man. Whether you're in the ministry or not, whether you go to church or not, whether you're faithful to God or not, life is stinking rough one way or the other. It's a sinful world. We're living under a curse. Just man up a little bit. I like that. I think that's good preaching. I like that stuff. A few years ago, I thought that was all that was in Timothy. I like that. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Man, that instruction from the old preacher has helped me. I'll never forget making a phone call a few years ago saying, I don't know what to do, man. It's a mess and this ain't good and it ain't going to work out well. This situation could bring my whole church under. And he said to me, here's what you do, brother. Batten down the hatches, hang on, and wait till the storm's over. And you'll see what God's doing. Well, my church didn't go under. It all blew over. It actually wasn't really that big of a deal. I just thought it was. But sometimes, fellas, we just have to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Instead of walking around all the time acting like, what's wrong? Oh, I'm discouraged. And I just really need help. And it's just really hard. We're going through a hard time. You know what I like about soldiers? They look you right in the eye. How you doing? Good, sir. How are you? Good. And they've seen some things and done some things and been some places. And they ain't telling you about it. They ain't talking about it. They ain't crying about it because they're a stinking soldier. That's why. We need some preachers like that. That day is just gone. Boy, 1 Timothy, some of us think it's all about how to get on the rich. 1 Timothy 6. Charge them. You know, money is the devil. Period. Not the love of money, it's just that we don't have it and they do, so now we're jealous and, you know. How about 1 Timothy 5? Preacher, what's Timothy about? Oh, how to keep the women in control in your church. No, oh, I've had that advice from older preachers. Brother, here's what, I just want to tell you something. Watch out for the women and the musicians. All my problems have come from the women and the musicians. Hey man, I'm a girl dad. That's all I got around me. Yeah, that's where my problems are at, because there ain't no boys in my house but me. You know, I think that's weak leadership. What are you so scared of, man? Just because your wife is right doesn't mean she's your enemy. You know what I noticed here when I got looking at this verse? The old man said, these things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I can't get there, son, I want you to know how you are to behave in church. Most of my problems in my ministry have been my fault. And there is always somebody to blame. Well, she started running her mouth. Well, you know what she was saying. You know what she was doing. You know what he was doing. You know what he said. Have you ever heard of the phrase voice amplification of leadership? You know, if I'm standing down here and we're done with church and everybody's walking around and milling around and, you know, kind of goofing off, and one of these guys comes up and just hauls off and punches me right in the face as hard as he can, do you know 90% of the people in here won't even know it? But the second I retaliate and the rustle gets going, everybody's going to go, what's Brother Reagan doing? And I think a lot of times the problems, at least in my ministry and probably yours because you're wired like I am, we're human, have really gotten bigger than they had to be. Our problems in church grew proportionally larger than they ever had to be because we didn't know how to behave ourselves in the house of God. The problem is it's not easy. There is a process to becoming a good minister of Jesus Christ. Look at chapter 4, verse 6. He says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. That's future tense. Nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. That word attain means to succeed in achieving something you desired and worked for. There is a process in the ministry of attaining. Taking heed unto myself, I need to recognize that God is working on me, like the preacher just said. The man's always working on the message, but I've realized over the years, the little bit that it's been, that God has been working on the man. I'm so obsessed with my preaching. I'm so obsessed with making sure that this thing goes right and worried about that message and the response from that message. And really, the whole time, and there have been periods, gentlemen, of years in my church. I mean years. I went through a 2 or 3 year period where I preached my guts out every Sunday and no response at the altar call. No, I mean no response.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
There is a process that God takes us through, fellas, and it ain't the process you want it to be. It is not fun. I would get so mad, I mean so stinking mad. I'm like, what am I doing up here in the north? I'm a Michigan-born, Michigan-bred, Michigan-raised kid. I'm, you know, always wound up back there, and I stinking hated it. I hated it. I said, what's the matter? It's because they're northerners. Because down south when the preachers preach, I mean, they can get up and say, Mary had a little lamb and his name was Jesus, you know, and the altar just floods. And here I am praying and trying and working and preaching and probably the only preacher in my area, at least, that sweats when he preaches, you know what I mean? And here I'm giving my whole heart to it and nothing, nothing. Me giving the invitation, standing there and just doing the whole invitation thing and working it, you know, like we're supposed to work it. And I see him standing there like this, and they're looking at me. And I'm turning beet red. I mean, embarrassed in my own church. I started the church 12 years ago in January. There's a process God puts you through to make you a good minister. And it is a humiliating and frustrating and disappointing process. But it is a necessary process. He says to Timothy, he says, put the brethren in remembrance of some things. Why? You'll be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Look at it. Nourished up. That's what he just got done saying. You know what the problem with us is? We always want to preach at everybody else, but we want to jump the process. We don't want to go through the process it takes to get to become a good minister someday. We want it now. That instant, excuse me, that instant generation. That give it to me now, I deserve it, I should have it. And that is not how it works anywhere in life, let alone church. Why do we think that says, well, God called me to preach, therefore I have a right to preach? There's a frustrating, painful process God takes a man through to get a man to a point where God can use him, where God can promote him, like Brother Dennis said, if God wants to promote him. A good minister is somebody that has to go through the process. In 1 Timothy 1:18, he says there's a prophecy that went before on thee, right? Something had gone on way back when he was a kid, and God had been working in that man's life for years. When we think about God working, you know what we think about? Souls getting saved, the church growing. People walking the aisle when we preach. That's what we think about. But that ain't the way God looks at it. God's got a process he wants to put us through to train us to become a good minister. And that process is painful. If you've ever noticed, look at the process David went through before he became the king. That was a long, painful, frustrating, aggravating process. He was not happy. He had times where he even failed throughout the process. He fell down flat on his face more than one. He made a bunch of mistakes. If you study the time he's running from Saul, he got a little tore out of the frame a time or two. He got a little frustrated a time or two. His ambition got to him, yet he always tried to keep his heart, that constant struggle trying to keep his heart right, trying to wait on God. Hey, listen, God was developing that man to put him in a place where God could trust him with the people that God loved. And David had to go through a humiliating and a frustrating and a painful process to get him ready to minister. There's a process. Think about Joseph. That one gets me, man. God put that boy through a process, a long one, to get him ready. Graduating from school don't make you ready. I know my Bible. So does Lucifer. That don't make you a preacher or a minister of Jesus Christ. There have been times when trying to quote Bible wouldn't do any good at all. I know, there have been times when trying to quote Bible at him wouldn't do any good at all. When you're ministering to somebody who was alive 40 years before you were born and seen more things in their life than you hopefully by the grace of God will ever have to go through, and you want to start quoting scripture at them, there's more to being a good minister of Jesus Christ than just knowing your Bible. Amen. God has to work on us. God has to put us through a process. God has to break us down. And none of us want to go through that process. Not only is there a process I see in here, but there's profitability in the ministry. Thank God for that. Look at verse 15. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Look at verse 8. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable in all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. You know, there's profitability in what God's called us to do. I'm thankful for that. You know what the problem is? We're programmed in our minds what we think or know profitability to be. How many people know you on YouTube or watch your YouTube? You realize if you got 1,000 people or 10,000 people or 20,000 people watching your YouTube, most of them are criticizing you anyways. That is not the status symbol of whether or not you've got God on you. Amen. It's a sick generation that we live in. The young men especially, I can speak to us. I understand how we're wired. I get the struggles. Brother Wheeler helped me out last year and he didn't even know it. I mean, it was a real short conversation. It was Brother Wheeler style, I think. And I said, we were talking about back in the day when I was at Brother Lentz's, and I said, Brother, I'm ashamed, man. I'm thinking back now. I'm almost 42 years old. At 42 years old, I'm thinking back to what I was back then. I said, I'm embarrassed to think how I came across to you guys. So I was a young preacher, full of ambition, ready to set the world on fire, critical of everything and everybody. I knew it all and all that stuff, you know. And he said, oh, man, we were all like that. And then he walked away. Help me, man. I've been thinking about that all year, man. And you know what I want to remember when God allows me to be around some other preachers and younger preachers? I want to remember we were all like that. We all thought the ministry was one thing. We all thought that the profitability in the ministry was a certain thing. But the reality of what a profitable ministry is in the eyes of God does not match up to the culture in which you live. It has nothing to do with headcount in church. It has nothing to do with the offerings in church. It has nothing to do with numbers. Hey, if God wants you to be a Jeremiah or an Elijah and you please God in that thing, that's all that matters. But we don't see it that way. You know why? Because of the process, man. You know, force is mass times acceleration. Right? Come on, young man. Some of you power lifters, I've heard him talk about guys in here that can pick up 700 pounds or something like that. That'll never be me, so whatever. But you know, force is mass times acceleration. That's the young guy, you know. You know what power is? Workload over time. I want the power of God. No, you don't. Brother, I just want the power of God on my ministry. No, you don't. Because you ain't willing to sit there for year after year after year after year under the guy that's got the power of God on his ministry and shut up. And listen. And be kind. And take heed unto yourself that you don't mess up something God's doing through somebody else. You want the power of God? Okay. you ain't going to get it like you think you're going to get it. I'm going to pray it down. Go ahead. God will answer your prayer and He'll put you in a pew somewhere and He'll let somebody else preach at you for a few years. And you got to sit there and hold it back and take heed to yourself and watch yourself and control yourself and control your ambition and control your spirit and control your attitude and control your mind. And when He says, hey, would you go clean the toilet's plugged. Yes, sir. And go in there while you're cleaning that toilet. Lord, thank you for giving me this opportunity because I don't deserve it. And plunge that toilet. And let all your buddies start their YouTube pages. And get all their likes and listens. And walk by you. Well, what are you doing for the Lord, brother? How long are you going to sit there in that church, brother? What are you doing for the Lord? You know, souls are dying and going to hell, brother. Yeah, and preachers are dying on the battlefield too, if you haven't noticed. Because they're being put out of the Christian college factories and they're running out of church because of their ambition and they're running out there into something they don't even know what they're getting themselves into. They don't know what they're getting their family into. They're not ready for what God's called them to do, and you're allowing the peer pressure and the social pressure to jump the process that God's trying to work in your life, and you're going to wind up dead on the battlefield. Better preachers than you and me wound up divorced. Better preachers than you and me wound up out of church. Better preachers than you and me wound up with families shipwreck because their ambition rushed them into something that God was not ready for them to do yet. Amen. Souls are dying and going to hell. Well, duh. It's been happening for 6,000 years. God's got it under control. And God's got a process that He puts His man through so that he can become a profitable servant. And that process ain't fun. If you can't handle the pressure of sitting in church under somebody else faithfully for years, you will not handle the pressure of being in the pulpit. I'm telling you, man, it ain't what it looks like. And I love it. But it ain't what it looks like. See, frustrated ambition in the young man is I want to be the preacher. I've been there, done that, got the t-shirt, man. And I would not listen to Brother Lance no matter what he said, although I respected him and feared him like you wouldn't believe I'd have followed that guy anywhere, man. But that old pride in Mike and that old self-exaltation in Mike and that ambition in Mike was just so strong and so high. That drive was so high. I was so fired up. I was so excited. I couldn't hear nothing, man. I was just dying to go preach. I want to be profitable. I still got ambition. By the way, gentlemen, if you don't have any ambition at all, what's wrong with you? Seriously, come on, man. Completely lost your vision altogether? You don't want to see people saved? You don't want to see God blessing your church? You don't want to see God using you in the preaching? Come on, let's just be real. We all high and mighty and pious and fake humble. We all got ambition. We better control it. You better submit it to God because it'll get you killed. Amen. Ambition in the young preacher looks one way, but I've learned this, and I'm not an old preacher by any stretch, but ambition at this point in my life looks totally different. Looks totally different. You know what I'm seeing in my generation? Once they get into the ministry long enough and they realize it wasn't not going to pan out like they had thought it was when they were younger, that ambition kind of triggers and it switches a little bit inside their head. You know, you get up and you have all these plans of preaching and walking the backs of the pews like all the stories of the legends that you've heard of the past, right? And you're thinking that's going to be you. And you get up there and you can't quite make that jump. You know, you got it planned out. You know when you're going to stomp, when you're going to pound, when you're going to, you know, right? And you get up there and they're all staring at you and it's just not there. And week after week and month after month and you preach and you look at them and they look at you and they stare at you like, what's he talking about? And they leave patronizingly, say, that was great, Pastor, thank you. And someday you're going to make a great preacher when you're an old man and stuff like that, you know. And year after year goes by and you start to realize, I guess I'm never going to be the preacher that I had thought in my mind I was going to be. Well, maybe I'm just more of a teacher. So, YouTubing them teachers.
Yeah.
And before you know it, since you're not making your mark like you wanted to make, you think maybe you got a little niche here and you can start making your mark in a different way. So you start reevaluating some of the things that thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Our adversary is pretty sneaky, folks. And he knows how to get in there. That ambition has to be under control. We got to understand what true profitability is. Look at chapter 6 and verse 3. First Timothy 6, 3, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, watch where the root of the problem is. He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, watch it, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing into this world. It is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Maybe the reason our churches aren't growing more than they are isn't because the sinners are so much more sinful than they've ever been and the world's so much worse and all the Christians don't want it anymore, but the food ain't that good. And maybe it's food's not that good because I'm not happy with what God's already done for me. I'll be honest with you, man. I'd always rather run 50 or 30 or 20 or whatever it is if it meant God was there, than to get 300, 400, 500, 600 and have God say, see you later, boy. I need him, man. You know, you have no idea how bad I need him. I don't care if God gives me a million or God doesn't. It does not stinking matter if there's 20 people and Jesus Christ shows up. That is the key. If God wants me to be sitting here under somebody else listening to them and Jesus Christ is in that thing and Jesus Christ is ministering to you and Jesus Christ is walking to you, what is the point of this whole mess anyhow? It has nothing to do with us and our promotion and our recognition and our power and our gain and our profitability. It's about the blood of Jesus Christ. It's about what he said, not about what I had to say.
Amen.
And I'll tell you, man, I got to watch Mike. Well, what does church mean to me? Local church this week. What's church mean to me? Everything, man.
Amen.
Church before I was born. Mom and Dad took me to church. Miserable time of my life is a little period where I was kind of starting to fall out of church. And even then, when I didn't want to go, I had to go at least once a week. I showed up because, man, there was something about that place. Sit there mad as I could be, criticizing them. Bless me if you can and you can't because you can't preach. Well, I know you'd never think that, but I was. I still had to get there, man. I had to get there. Just something was driving me. Something was bugging me. Church means everything. But it ain't mine. I've never tried to make my church by the grace and help of God, and because of some good advice I've gotten from some other men, I've never tried to force it into my mold. I told you before, I preached for years. They didn't answer the altar calls, so I thought about quitting giving altar calls. Well, I knew what all the brethren would say about me if I tried that, so to be in their face, I decided that ain't going to happen. Thought about, man, what am I doing wrong? What's going on? Maybe I need to leave this church to somebody else and move on. And all of a sudden, I just realized, you know what, Lord, it doesn't matter if they answer the altar or not.
Amen.
Thank you for giving me people to preach to.
Amen.
You know, I wouldn't get an amen. I mean, not a chance of an amen, nothing. They'll sit there and cry, tears run down their face, but they don't say amen. Just for years. Can I say something? I hate clapping in church. I got this hang up. I hate this, like, it's a hang up. And boy, if I want to, I just don't like it. Only a couple of my people know that. Most of my folks ain't from our background. You know what happened the other day? I think the Lord showed up. I got preaching, and some new guy over in the back corner, he said, "Yeah, amen," he went. And so the whole church just followed suit, and everybody started going, while I was preaching. Man, that was better than amens. I just said, "Whoa, man, this is good." Let them clap. Who cares what the brethren says? Man, it ain't my church. As long as they're clapping for Jesus, I'm all right with it. Godliness with contentment is great gain, man. Maybe God ain't giving us more because we ain't thankful for what we got. When you stand up there, man, nobody's here, nobody's here. You know what you're telling the ones that are there? They don't matter. Because our ambition is driving us to kill our churches. Where if we just learn to love the ones God's given us, respect them, take heed to ourselves, when they take a shot at you, smile. God bless you. Thank you very much. Now the end of the commandment, he tells Timothy, is charity. Wonder why our churches are all messed up? We don't set much of an example of being charitable. Suffereth long and is miserable. Suffereth long and is kind. I got a couple guys in my church right now that we didn't start out on the right foot at all. God used them to help me a lot. One boy's about 6'5" or 4" or whatever, and he's just 289, 290 pounds. He's just a monster. And the first time he ever walked in, he was about 20 years old or so, and he walks right up to me like this, and he's like, "You don't do that to a little guy. Please. I'm asking you nicely. I'm being charitable. Please." I looked at him. He's looking down at me. Said something smart, Alec. I said, "Shut up." I don't remember, man. We just hated each other. He'd grown on me. He'd grown on me a long time ago. Great big wart, man. I love him. And you know what? He loves me. Which sounds more charitable. And the guy come in and sat over in the back, and he left, hated me. Told his wife, "We ain't never going back there again. That guy's crazy." You know what that means? Next time he walks in the door. Right? Oh, man, if you messed with me, those two guys will make a grease spot out of you. I got to do nothing. That was years ago. You know what the bad part is, gentlemen? We don't change much, do we? Guy come in Sunday morning. I'm preaching. He elbows the lady that brought him, and he said, "This guy's driving me crazy. Why's he got to yell so much? He's making me mad." Out loud in church. I got the report. You know what my first response was? "Well, if I'd have known, I'd have walked right back to where he was and yelled straight in his face." And you know what the Lord says? "Take heed unto yourself. Because that guy might wind up being one of your best friends." You know what I'm afraid my problem in church has been? Mike. I'm done with this. Look at this. Verse 14, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which is given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery." Look at chapter 5, verse 17. "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine." Now, I got to say this, and it come across harsh, but this generation of preachers, we are messed up. And I believe with all my heart there's great potential because we got a great God. But I'll tell you why we're messed up. We are rebels to the core. and we hide it under spirituality. I don't follow a man. Well, you're an idiot. There's no such thing as a self-made man. We all got mamas and daddies. There's been some gifts given us, guys. The gift of truth. Don't neglect it. I'm telling you, I'm thankful. I'm thankful. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for older preachers that are still serving God and believe the book. And when I need advice, I'm not coming to my peers. And I got some good friends in this room, and I love you. I mean it, and you're a blessing, and you help me, and I need you, and all that stuff. It's great. We mess around, we text, we call. You encourage me when I'm bummed because I can just bounce. But when I really need advice, I'm not neglecting what God's given me. I've messed some stuff up before. I'm done messing stuff up. God helping. I know I'll make more mistakes. I get all that. God helping me. Sometimes we're too proud to go say, brother, what do you think? Open slate. Tell me what you see. Tell me what you think. Can you help me? Now, first time that advice goes crossways to you, humiliates you, hurts you, guts you, you're done with them. And you leave and talk about them and you go to your buddies. Oh, he's just trying to keep everybody out of the ministry. He wants everybody to sit in his church. And trying to be charitable. But it infuriates me. That's the Bible pattern, folks. We all want to be the leader. We all want to be the advice giver. But you ain't ready to lead nothing or give any advice if you can't get some. God's put some men in the ministry that made it through the ups and the downs and the pressure and pain and stuff. He's a soldier. He ain't telling you about it. He's still serving God. We'd be flat-footed fools if we don't pick up the phone once in a while and then humble ourselves to get some help. Paul's not there to hurt Timothy. Paul's there to help him. Meditate on these things in verse 15. Give thyself wholly to them that thy profiting may appear to all. Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love you. Okay, feed my sheep. Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Yea, Lord, thou. You love God? Isn't that what church is all about, folks? We didn't die for it. I don't see any nail scars in your hands, and you don't see them in mine. You know what church means to me? An opportunity to show him, Lord, I love you. All right, boy, get in the book. Meditate on them. Give yourself wholly to them. Some things have been entrusted to you. Now, don't go out later when you're all frustrated and try to show where those guys were off and rightly dividing or off on this or the tribulation or what. Who cares about all that stuff? What about you? Yeah, Lord, good point. Give yourself wholly to these things. Okay, Lord. You going to walk with me? Yes, Lord. What if I don't profit you? You're all the profit I need, sir. What if I don't put you in the ministry? You're all the prophet I need, sir. What if I don't bless you like I blessed him? You're all the prophet I need, sir. What if I don't give you your dreams? Oh, you're gonna. Because I'm gonna die and get out of here, so we're good. Lord, you're all I need.